In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with where we left off last week, where we ended up basically all the writings of Luisa must be approved. This was from Cardinal Ratzinger at the time. And he said, and Blessed Honorable de Francia was later canonized in 2004. So he became a blessed in 1990 on October 7th, which is the day when Luisa entered into the orphanage, and they said to her, Luisa, how long are you going to stay here? She said, for 10 years. And 10 years to the day, October 10th, or 1938, she left, from 28 to 38. So thus, the church has approved everything that St. Honorable de Francia said about Luisa, her mission and her writings, and she put him as an example for these times. So at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, John Paul II proclaimed that if you want vocations, he is the one that you pray to. The Rogate, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ripe, and get ready for now this blessing of priests that are going to come upon the earth. And so right now, God is purifying the church, purifying the world, and he needs us to understand that this time of purification is essential. He says, I'm going to redo the priesthood, he said to Luisa, to the what I wanted it to be from the beginning. And he says that the miracles that are going to come through the priesthood are going to be unheard of prodigies. And we can see this already with even like Our Lady of America. She said that there'll be more miracles that are going to happen here in the United States than Lourdes and Fatima. More than all those years of Lourdes and Fatima. Now there's going to be something, and it's going to be an explosion of healings that are going to come, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional healings. So subsequently, the Monsignor, as we were talking last week, went to Corrado, to the Association Luisa Picaretta, celebrated Holy Mass there, and met with Archbishop Trani, Monsignor Giuseppe Corrata. And I mentioned last week, Monsignor, or the Bishop, Archbishop, when he was a seminarian, he studied Luisa. They studied Luisa's writings, The Hours of the Passion of the Virgin Mary, when he was in the seminary. He knew about Luisa, notifying him about the conversation he had with Cardinal Ratzinger. So Monsignor, relying on the words spoken by Cardinal Ratzinger, all the writings of Luisa must be approved, wrote the recommendation letter that appears at the beginning of the book, The Hours of the Passion, dated January 22nd, 1991. So here is a new beginning for humanity. A new beginning is coming for all of humanity. And our joy, our happiness is what Jesus says. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will go back to the original life that God breathed into Adam, this new and divine way of holiness. So His Excellency Carmelo Cassati was the successor in the Archdiocese of Trani after Archbishop Corrata. Referring to the opening of Luisa's cause, the Monsignor told him about the words of Cardinal Ratzinger. Therefore, His Excellency Carmelo Cassati worked to realize it much more than his predecessor and had the intention of doing so. And in that way, thanks to our Supreme Pontiff, now deceased Pope Benedict, the process of beatification of Luisa on its course so that all their writings can be approved, as he said. Further, in November 13th, 1995, Archbishop Cassati asked the prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, and that was Cardinal Ratzinger, to copy the volumes of Luisa kept in the secret archives of the Vatican. As a result, on February 2nd, 1996, the Feast of the Presentation, Pope John Paul II permitted the copying of the original volumes of Luisa, which were contained in the secret archives, a process done in the office of Cardinal Ratzinger. So his office was in the secret archives of the Vatican. As a matter of fact, he asked John Paul II, Cardinal Ratzinger, he wanted to retire. And he says, what I want to do is I want to read basically the writings in the secret archive. So we know that he had this desire to read and study. And I truly believe the last 9 years of his life, I think he was reading Louisa, because when you listen to him and listen to the recent, his recent writings, his recent books, he's always hinting at the divine will. He was always hinting at it. And with such joy and such confidence of what is coming. And again, our Lady of Good Success, or in Spanish, Our Lady of the Great Event, she said 400 years ago that there would be a feast, a glorious, miraculous, if you want to say, event, this great event that's going to occur on the feast of the purification of Mary, which is the feast of the presentation. That's how God loves to hide things. So here she says, on this great feast of the presentation of the purification of Mary, there's going to be this miracle. This great thing is going to happen. And when you listen to Father Gobi a year later, in 1997, Our Lady said, everything's completed. Everything's done. So what was completed? What was done? And that was the writings of Louisa came out. And as you read these writings, you are filled with joy. You are filled with confidence in God, trust in God. And even in the things that are difficult at this time, this purification that we're going through, we know God is going to win. We're confident in that. So Cardinal Ratzinger's homily before the election of as pontiff, he said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And that's John 15, verse 14. Friendship with Christ coincides with the third request of our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. At this hour in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus transformed our rebellious human will into a will conformed and united with the divine will. And this is just became before he became Pope. He suffered the whole drama of our autonomy, and precisely by placing our human will in God's hands, Jesus gives us the true freedom, not as I will, but as you will. Matthew 24, verse 39. So Pope Benedict, basically the glory of the olives, this is Saint Malachi. The priest is called to serve human beings and to give them life in God. So the priesthood is to bring to life that divine life in the soul. The priests are to bring out of this hiddenness, if you want to say, this new and divine way of holiness. And this is what God is asking of the priesthood. The priest is called to serve human beings and to give them life in God. On July 7th, 2010, Pope Benedict blessed the 17-foot, 5-inch statue of St. Honorable Maria de Francia. And it's at St. Peter's at the Basilica in the Vatican. Now, as you face the Vatican, the Papal Guard is usually under the bells. As you're facing it, it's to the left, the archway under the left of St. Peter's. And you go through that archway, and a short distance in on the building, on the basilica, is this beautiful image of St. Honorable de Francia. And it's not by chance that it's under the bells. See, God has everything planned. Jesus says to Louisa, you are the bell that I will ring continuously until all enter into the kingdom. On the image of Incorado, Our Lady of the Greca, there's a little bell there, which symbolizes Louisa. This ringing of the bell. And then in the hand of the hand of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Greca, is the papal cross. So you have the papal cross and the bell, because the two of them are the ones that are going to bring about this new and divine way of holiness. This is the Pope and Louisa. So great things are coming. Amazing things are going to happen. And our job is to not get oppressed by the negativity that's all around us, but really to be that light, that life, that love of God. And so Pope Benedict chose as his Episcopal motto, cooperators of the truth. And he himself explained why. On the one hand, I saw it as a relation between my previous task as professor, And my new mission as basically the Pope, in spite of different approaches, what was involved and continued to be so, he says, was following the truth and being at its service. You know, Jesus is the truth. On the other hand, I chose that motto because in today's world, the theme of truth is omitted almost entirely. Everything's upside down. You look at what's being taught. You look what's on television. You look what's on the movies. Everything is upside down. What is bad is good. What is good is bad. What is black is white. What is white is black. It's everything's upside down. As the truth is omitted almost entirely as something too great for humanity, and yet everything collapses if truth is missing. And that's what's happening. Our society is going to be purged. Our church is going to be purged so that the truth can have its foundation. So during his general audience, Pope Benedict said, as the gospel reports, Jesus says that the proclamation of the kingdom of God is the goal of his mission. The proclamation of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This proclamation, however, is not only a discourse, but at the same time includes his action. The signs and miracles that Jesus works shows that the kingdom comes as a present reality. And in the end coincides with his very person, with the gift of himself, as we heard is in the gospel, today's reading in the gospel at that time. So what Jesus is doing is everything, the kingdom comes as a present reality. It's here. And in the end coincides with his very person. As Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. A new era has begun. As Our Lady said to many, many of her apparitions throughout the world, even to Father Gobi, she said, you have get ready for the return of my son. As Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. We have to understand the time that we're in. It's very, very clear. It's very, very clear. And it coincides with Jesus's very person, the gift of himself. Great things are coming. Amazing things are going to happen. And it's nothing to, for a lot of people, it's going to be a shock. And I think the Lord is asking us to help them to enter into this new and divine way of holiness. Okay, so Jesus says, or the Holy Father says, the same applies for the ordinary ordained ministry. He, the priest, represents Christ, the one sent by the Father. He, the priest, continues his mission through the word and the sacrament in this totality of body and soul, of sign and word. Referring to priests in a letter to a bishop, he says, St. Augustine says, let those therefore who are servants of Christ, his priests in word and sacrament, do what he, Jesus, has commanded or permitted. So the life of the priest is to be altar Christ, another Christ. The priest has to die to his ego and his will. And just a couple days ago in the calendar on the 8th, Jesus tells Louisa that what is hurting the priesthood is interest, self-interest, interest in anything but humanity, hobbies, interests, vacations, anything that is a priest goes to help themselves. You know, I mean, it's good to have a hobby. But when your hobby becomes your passion, it's good to have a cottage. But if your cottage becomes a passion, you know, it's got to go. So Jesus is asking the priests through Saint Augustine, the servants of Christ, his priests in word and sacrament, do what Jesus has commanded or permitted. So again, this purification that's coming to the church is necessary. Volume 10, 1:28, 1911, Jesus said, and though these few good ones, the priests, shall my church recover from her agony. So there's going to be a few good priests, Jesus says, that the church will recover. These are my support. These are my pillars, the continuation of the life of the church. So the Jesus is prophesying the future that's coming, and the priesthood is going to shrink. As a matter of fact, I remember there was a prophecy back in the 70s that there would be a world catastrophe where many women would survive, few men would survive, but hardly any priests. And that never made sense to me. Why, you know, if everything is at the same level, it would be the same amount, but fewer. And what Jesus is showing, what he said today in today's, yesterday's reading, he said, if the priests are the ones that are poisoning the people, he says, I'm going to get rid of them. And Louisa says to Jesus, there are so few now, how can you have fewer? And Jesus said, if I only have 12 like I did from the beginning, that's what I will use. But he says, I will have an army of priests. So what's coming is the priesthood is going to be attacked, and the priesthood is going to be almost completely destroyed. But it's nothing to be afraid of. it's nothing. God is going to win. And that's the thing that helps us so much. It's this new and divine way of holiness that our God is asking us to enter into. Because he says, these are my support. These are my pillars. This is the continuation of the life of the church. In those few good ones, my church shall recover from her agony. Volume 19, 5:13, 1926. My daughter, your confessor has found great things before me, because when he would undertake an office, a commitment, he would neglect nothing so as to fulfill that office exactly. Okay, this is the role of the priest, to fulfill the office exactly. So he's talking about her confessor. He was the most attentive. He would make great sacrifices, and if necessary, he would even dispose himself to lay down his own life so that his office might be fulfilled exactly. So this message of Jesus to the priest is, there's got to be more of a focus on dying to your ego and your will, and open to the divine will of God. So the confessor, had a fear that if he did not operate as befitted his office in the works entrusted to him, he himself might be an obstacle to the very work entrusted to him. This means that her confessor appreciated and gave the right value to my works, Jesus says. And his attentiveness attracted the grace that was needed for the fulfillment of his office. So Jesus says this attentiveness is necessary. Self-interest is the destruction of the priest, Jesus tells Louisa. He says, this may not appear to be such a great thing, but rather, Jesus says, it is everything. This fulfillment of your office. One of the things that happens to priests before they leave the priesthood is they stop praying in their office. And the office it's the lifeblood of the priest. He every day reading the lives of the saints, reading their words, reading the sacred scripture, entering into this life gives the priest this understanding that what he is doing each day is everything to Jesus. So he says, in fact, when one is called to an office and fulfills the duties pertaining to that office, it means that he does it for God. And the fulfillment of one's duty, there is sanctity. So the sanctity is what God is calling the priesthood to. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to be sanctified. And that's what's good. That's what Jesus says he's going to bring about with this purification of the priesthood. He's going to bring his priests to this new and divine way of holiness that has to grasp the priest, to help the priest become Alter Christus, another Christ. On February 11th, 2013, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of All Nations, Pope Benedict stunned the world and the Catholic Church when he said that he would resign, the first pope to do so since the Middle Ages. Hours later, lightning struck the cupola of St. Peter's Basilica. not once, but twice. It was almost as if, here we go. It's the opening bell of the last fight, if you want to say. In a letter dated October 2014, Pope Benedict responded by a letter to an invitation he would receive to participate in a pontifical high mass as part of the Summorum Pontificum pilgrimage in Rome. And he said, "My state as a cloistered monk does not allow me a presence that is also exterior. I leave my cloister only in particular cases, when personally invited by basically Pope Francis." So here he says his job now was as a cloistered monk. And we're going to see what this means in the future. We're going to see how, as Jesus walked to Calvary carrying the cross, the Holy Father walked to Calvary and basically brought the bride of Christ to the crucifixion. And we're going to see how this was in God's plan, that as the saints have always said, the bride of Christ must be crucified with Jesus on Calvary. And that's what we're going to go through. We're going to go through this crucifixion. Again, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's why we were called to be alive at this time, why we were given the book of heaven. It's going to help us know the way and the how this is going to happen. And our job is not to be afraid, but our job is to embrace the cross and kiss the cross. As we see in Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, Jesus grabbed the cross and kissed it. He got that from Louisa. He got that from the 24 hours of the Passion. There's certain things in the movie that only Jesus told Louisa. And we know that he read this. And now his new movie, The Resurrection, if you haven't read, I think it's Divine Will Life. If you haven't read The Resurrection, what Jesus says the resurrection is about, it's going to knock your socks off. This Jesus says, "I rose from the dead so humanity would rise from their human will. I rose from the dead." And then Jesus says, "You must live this resurrected life." And he explains it. And we're praying that this movie that Mel Gibson is going to do, that he has read, because it was given to him through Jim Caviezel, the document on the resurrection that Jesus told Louisa has to happen. So again, I'm hoping and praying that we'll be able to hear and see things that will help us understand even more this great gift of the divine will with the next movie. So this interview with Pope Benedict, he says, "Do you see yourself, Holy Father, as the last pope of an whole old era or the first pope of a new era?" See, this is very important. And Pope Benedict said, "I would say both. I don't belong to the old world anymore, but the new world isn't really here yet." How accurate. He says, "There are going to be these upheavals that are now underway." He says, "But we do not know yet at which precise moment we can say there is the beginning, begins one and the ending of another," basically. He understands that this is a new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. I think he and Pope John Paul II talked about this often. I just have that feeling that everything that's been set up by John Paul and Cardinal Ratzinger at the time has been playing now for the last, 15 years. Everything's happening. Everything's ready to enter into that new and divine way of holiness. So that's why he says, "I would say both. I don't belong to the old anymore, but the new one isn't really here yet." And that's the other thing too. When you read the Book of Heaven, I hear many people say, "Well, I'm living in the divine will." No, it's not here yet. Well, it's the beginning of it. It's the beginning. It's right at the very beginning. But that great miracle that has to happen when that fullness of time, if you want to say, that has to happen, isn't here yet. But it's coming. It's very, very close. Additionally, Pope Benedict namesake, Saint Joseph, was also a liminal figure, an intermediate intermediate between two states, to intermediate between two conditions or two regions, transitional and interdominion, at standing aside the two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Testament. So you have Joseph as the one, like John the Baptist. John the Baptist's father was a high priest. That means John the Baptist was a high priest. You know, today, in the readings today, you hear John saying to Jesus, you know, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, we have to get through this to fulfill everything. So he baptized Jesus. And as Jesus comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes down and you hear the voice of God. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Everything is in place. Everything is ready for what God is going to bring about. So standing aside the two covenants, the old and the new, was St. Joseph. He too was a humble laborer. And in the pages of scripture, at least pretty quiet, but decisive when he was directed from above. Okay, so that's also what we're going to see with Pope Benedict. And he tried to keep his family safe. Thus, Joseph Aloysius, and he was named Aloysius after St. Aloysius, and so was Louisa. Jesus said, St. Aloysius was the most pure of all saints, and I wanted you, Louisa, to be named after him. So it's on her birth certificate, it says Aloysia. The bridge, here's Pope Benedict, the bridge between redemption and sanctification, the bridge between the old and the new era, the third era, the era of the third fiat, the era of sanctification, between the saints and the New Testament and the little children of the Testament of love. That's one of the titles Jesus gives to the book of heaven, the Testament of love. Everything in the divine will is love. It's diving into this infinite ocean of love. It's to begin to live heaven on earth now before you die, Jesus says. It's to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Again, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return, Jesus says to St. Faustina, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. The Lord said to Louisa, is volume 12, 10, 16, 19, 18, once I have purged everything, that's where we are right now. It's the beginning of this purgation. I will place my finger in a surprising way and will give the true peace to the world. So he, as the Lord, is going to do this. All the people that are, asking for peace in the world, it's not going to be true peace, Jesus says. But I will place my finger as Lord, as God, as Savior, as King, in a surprising way, and I will give to the world true peace. And then all those who are humiliated will return back to me, Jesus. See, it's the purification that has to happen is to help us return back to Jesus. Germany will be Catholic. And I, God, have great designs upon her. England, Russia, and every place there was where blood was shed will rise again back to the true faith and will be incorporated into my holy church. That's what's happening. We know this is going to happen because Jesus prophesies there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. There will be the great triumph and the union of peoples. Therefore, pray. And it takes patience because this will not be so soon, but it will take time. So that's 104 years ago, Jesus said that. It's going to take time. The interesting thing is it's going to happen. And he wants to use us to bring this true peace to the earth. And it's going to happen through the Holy Church. And the Holy Church is getting hit real hard. It's getting hit real hard, and it's going to get hit even harder as time goes on. But he says there will be a great triumph and the union of peoples. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The Lord said to Louisa, volume 15, 7, 11, 1923, What great attention is required of you, Louisa, and of them, the priests, of you, Louisa, in receiving from me, like a second mother to me, the great gift of my most holy divine will. And you, Louisa, knowing all its divine qualities and all of them by receiving them from you, so that my fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven may be fulfilled in my church. So through, as Our Lady guided the apostles after the first Pentecost, we're being guided by Louisa as the second Pentecost that's coming. She knows all the divine qualities, and the priests are going to receive them from Louisa, so that the fiat voluntas tua on earth as in heaven may be fulfilled in Jesus's church. So what we hear again is, it's not the layperson's responsibility to give this gift. It's the priest's responsibility. Great attention is required of you, Louisa, and of the priests. And this has to be given to the priests, because this is what Jesus keeps. This is what this whole book is about. It's about the role of the priest in the divine will, how Jesus is going to do this through his priesthood. Now, Pope Francis, Mary is humble. She says, may God's will be done. She entrusts her soul to God's will. Joseph, her betrothed, also lowers himself to take this great responsibility upon his shoulders. Joseph also says yes to the angel when in his dream, the angel tells him of this truth. And so he says, we celebrate today the Feast of the Holy Family of Nazareth. Now, it's not by chance that if you have a prayer meeting, you have a prayer group in the divine will, it should be under the direction of the Holy Family of Nazareth. If you are become a third order oblate, you are basically dedicating your life, and each house, each home should have a picture or statue of the Holy Family. It's not by chance that the chapel in Rome City, Indiana, was renamed by Bishop Rhodes as the Feast of the Holy Family of Nazareth. This chapel now is, it was Our Lady of Mercy, now it's the Holy Family. And this is one of the apparitions, one of the 12 apparitions that Sister Mary Ephraim had when Our Lady appeared, and she appeared as Our Lady of the Holy Family of Nazareth. So the term holy places this family within the spheres of holiness, which is a gift from God, but at the same time, it is free and responsible adherence to God's plan. This was the case for the family of Nazareth. They were totally available to God's will. And that's what we want. We want, right now, we want to be in the presence of Jesus and Mary, as Joseph was, to be taught how to live in the divine will. Jesus and Mary lived fully in the divine will. And 2,000 years later, the firstborn comes to the earth, Louisa. The firstborn is born. A human born of original sin possesses this gift. And now that Jesus says, now that finally a human possesses it, Jesus says, now it can be given to the world. And this is what Jesus is asking. He's asking us to begin to embrace this life of Jesus and Mary that Joseph was in the presence of. He in the presence of the two that lived in the divine will. And now with Louisa, God is saying, I want you to enter into this gift like Louisa, so that you can begin to live this abundant life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, which is a new and divine way of holiness, which is Jesus is giving to us. Now we go to St. Anibal de Maria de Francia. St. Anibal was the extraordinary confessor of Louisa for 17 years. And if you want to know more about that, go to louisapicaretta.me, download the book, these 17 years, and you'll be really astonished how St. Anibal de Francia was the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. Now Melanie's a servant of God. So he learned from her how Our Lady revealed to her the things of heaven. So when he met Louisa, he was really astonished that this is more than what he learned from Melanie. And Melanie, the servant of God, she helped St. Anibal de Francia start the Daughters of Divine Zeal. So if you really want to read what these 17 years are like, you'll be really astonished how this saint, Saint Honorable de Francia, was so amazed by Luisa that at the end, towards the end of his life, he said, all I want to do is focus on the divine will. And really shocking his community because, you know, he was the father of the community. He was the one that started the community and everybody goes, yes, yes, let's, this Rogate, this is what we want. We want this new life for all of humanity. So he was the ecclesiastical censor of Luisa's writings and in the books in the Vatican during his life. He put the Nihil Obstat on it and the thing of the bishop, the imprimatur. So in the books, there is the imprimatur and the Nihil Obstat. And what he said yes to it's during the time of Saint Pius X. Man, it's just, this is not New Age. It's of the church. It's through the church. It's for the church. So it was the founder of the Rogationist Fathers, the Daughters of Divine Zeal, and the St. Anthony Orphanage. Know that I no longer occupy myself with almost anything of the other things of my institutes. But I dedicate myself completely to the great work of the divine will. So he found this and he found that it was everything. And he says, I'm not occupying myself with the things of my institute, but I dedicate myself to this great work of the divine will. And so Jesus gave him a mission to publicize these writings. And that's really what happened in the 30s. Germany was the first to embrace the writings and publish them. And I've seen some of the books, the German font is so amazing. It's so beautiful. And then it was all throughout Italy. I mean, like we heard Archbishop Corrada as a seminarian was studying Luisa's writings. And even Father Bucci hints that Padre Pio was reading the 24 Hours of the Passion when he received his stigmata. He didn't say it directly, but you could tell that he wanted to say it, but he couldn't. Because that's not ready yet. When that comes out, it's going to be amazing. Volume 20, 11-6, 1926. It is a provisional act, providential act of the supreme will that wants St. Honorable de Francia as the first apostle of the divine fiat and proclaimer of it. So this is what a great man we have. What a great saint we have, Honorable Maria de Francia. He paid frequent visits to the servant of God, with whom he had long conversation and stayed for hours in Luisa's little room. He also celebrated Holy Mass in her room. And I had the opportunity about seven times to say Holy Mass there. And it's really an astonishing thing. The room next door is roped off now. And that's where when he stayed, he would stay in the room next to Luisa. It was kind of kitty corner to Luisa. And that was right where the other workers of Luisa would also stay in a separate room. It's just astonishing. St. Honorable Maria de Francia, he would spend hours talking to Luisa. And we don't have all of Luisa's writings to him. That hasn't been published yet. I can't wait to read those to hear what Luisa was saying to him. It's always if you're ever discouraged, go to the letters of Luisa and read the letters of Luisa. It's here you see her soul. You could hear her speak. She's so in love with Jesus. She's so in love with our God that it just flows out of her. Here she helps people. You know, whatever you're going through, she knows how to help you get out of it, out of your misery and to turn back to God. So if you ever get discouraged or oppressed or anything like that, go to the writings of Luisa because the letters of Luisa, because she helps each and every one of us, it's good to know her spirit. It's each and every one of us to hear. We hear, always hear Jesus and Mary speak to her and her speaking to Jesus and Mary. But when she speaks, you really sense the little newborn. You really sense the little daughter of Jesus, the little daughter of Mary. You sense this innocence, this holiness, this understanding of the divine will. So St. Annibal de Francia left this beautiful witness about Luisa, part of which is here reported. Okay, that's for next week. So basically, one of the things I think we can do is read the letters of Luisa. If you haven't read the letters of Luisa, it's something that will really, it makes you alive, because Jesus speaks in a certain tone, you know, as Lord, as Savior, as Master, as King. Mary speaks in a certain tone as Mother of Queen of Heaven and Earth. When Luisa speaks, it's a beautiful little voice of this little soul, Luisa Picaretta. And if you haven't read the letters, you'll be astonished by them, and they'll always come in handy. You can help people, like for Christmas or Easter or birthdays, you can write a little something that Luisa says and put it in a card. It's always, it changes souls when you begin to hear the depth of this life that Jesus and Mary breathed into Luisa. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa, and we pray for all the little children, the holy divine will, to be divinely healed on this baptism of the Lord. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.